The Duncan Trussell Family Hour is partially sponsored by Audible.com. Go to audibletrial.com/family hour, sign up for a trial membership, and you will receive a free audiobook, and Audible will send the Duncan Trussell Family Hour $15. The Duncan Trussell Family Hour is also sponsored by North Central Positronics. North Central Positronics, all hail the Crimson King. Today on the Duncan Trussell Family Hour, we explore the issue of mental illness in comedians. What happens when a midlife crisis consumes a comedian in the midst of an otherwise successful career? We interview Tim Heidecker as he goes through a midlife crisis at the LA Zoo. Now a word from our sponsors.
Good day. This is inspirational speaker Norman Lake, author of Lake's Love, a book about how to recover from addiction by becoming more addicted. I was recently addicted to feet and spent 5 months in Thailand allowing every top prostitute that would take my money to use my member as a kind of fleshy trampoline or treadmill. The end result of allowing so many prostitutes to tromp and tread upon the most tender part of my body was the skin sloughed off like a snake, and I found myself in an economy urgent care center considering filleting a pistol until a bullet blasted the back of my head all over the wall. But my friends at Short Design T-Shirts, hearing of my plight, were kind enough to send a special cotton harness, which I was able to use to suspend my penis and keep it from making contact with matter. This saved my life. Short Design T-Shirts make some of the softest fabrics known to man. If you don't believe me, go to their website at shortdesignt-shirts.com. Check out their wonderful selection of shirts and consider purchasing one for yourself. If you put in Duncan when you buy one of these shirts, you will receive 10% off. ShortDesignT-Shirts.com. They saved my life. They could save yours.
2 days ago, I received this message from Tim Heidecker on my cell phone.
Hey, it's Tim. I want to do the podcast again. Meet me at the LA Zoo tomorrow morning.
Something was wrong. I could just tell. It was something in his voice. The fact that he invited me to the LA Zoo in the morning without giving me a time. Something was wrong, so I called him back, and this was his voicemail.
Leave a message.
Someone's always coming around here, trailing someone new kill. Says I seen your picture on a $100 bill. What's a game? A chance to hear him as one of real skill. So glad to meet you, Angela. Picking up the ticket shows there's money to be made. Go on, lose the gamble, that's the history of the trade. That you add up all the cards left to play to zero and sign up. Don't start me trying now. Cause cause I'm all over the edge of mine. I can make you satisfied in everything you do. All your secret wishes could right now be coming true. Be forever with my poison arms around you. No one's gonna fool around with us. No one's gonna fool around with us. So glad to meet you, Angel.
I thought it was creepy that he'd left the entirety of Elliott Smith's Angels on his answering machine. But Tim's a weird guy. He's got a weird show, the Tim and Eric Show. So I figured it was just some kind of conceptual gag. I didn't talk to any of his friends at the time. I just went and met him at the zoo and recorded the podcast that you're about to hear. I just want you guys to know that I was not aware that Tim is actually in trouble when I went and did this interview. Had I known that, I probably wouldn't have been so abrasive during the interview or jabbed at him so many times. I probably just wouldn't have gone to the zoo at all. But after the interview, I immediately called one of Tim's best friends and comedy mentors, DJ Doug Pound, to tell him what had happened. And this is what he said.
The weird thing is that he only hangs out at the zoo, and kind of bizarre, but that's his place that he kind of latched onto, especially some of the big apes. He's been hanging around there, and zoo. He's also been getting in trouble at the zoo. Like, they kicked him out a few times, and I had to go pick him up, and he begged me to circle around and just drop him right back off again after he put like a different baseball hat on. He got back in. They didn't notice. It was a different guy. But after that, he's been hanging out at the kind of the darker exhibits where, like, the nocturnal animals are hanging out. Like, he hangs out at the opossum house and the kiwi tent. He's over there. He's trying to talk to kids a lot, which is, it sounds creepy, but it's actually not creepy. He's just talking to kids. I don't know about what, but, you know, the parents are always kind of weirded out. I mean, he looks like a regular guy. He doesn't look any different. He's just always at the zoo.
So there you guys go. I didn't know that he had lost his mind. Since then, I have talked to his family. I talked to his wife. They want me to release this interview. They say they want people to know that sometimes people like Tim go under the crazy bus. And when the bus gets done running over them, then that's the time for the internet and everyone out there to get together and wrap him and swaddle him up in love cloth and rub his wounds down and oil him down and send him back on his way. But right now he's still getting tumbled down there, so I guess the best thing you could do is just send him positivity and love and tweet to him at Tim Heidecker that you hope he feels better, and I'll keep you guys posted. So, everyone, please welcome to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour, my friend, the very courageous, Tim Heidecker. It was a typical Tuesday morning at the LA Zoo. Clowns putting on their morning makeup in the parking lot, wedding parties getting ready for the big day. Tim emerged from a nearby porta-john, wiped his hands on his pants, and embraced me. He seemed inordinately excited to get into the zoo, and he rushed us over to the ticket booth.
Hi.
Hi. Two for the zoo, please.
$34?
Okay. What kind of animals are you showing today?
Most of our animals are out. They should all be out.
You got the gorillas?
Yeah, the gorillas are out. That's the only thing we don't have is lions right now.
Oh, okay.
What happened to the lions?
The lions passed away. Our last one passed away a few weeks ago.
Oh, it's terrible.
What do you do with the lion's body when it dies?
I don't know, honestly. I'm sorry.
Tim had been mostly silent till we entered the zoo. And then?
Here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
The only thing that matters is that we get to Campo Gorilla Reserve. Everything else is a waste here.
What?
So let's head that way.
All right.
So we're looking at the map right now.
Okay. So Tim, with all this stuff going on, it's amazing to me that you even have time to go to a zoo. It seems like in between making films, pitching TV shows, absolutely, your production company absolutely films. How many shows are you guys producing?
I don't really know the count. I'm trying to figure out international marketplaces right up ahead. They should have some animals right away as soon as you come in. We're being forced to walk through this sort of like gift shops and stuff, which is, it's like, I guess it makes sense. Where are we?
You've got a lot of zoo anxiety.
Main Zoo. I just saw a sign for the Main Zoo.
So, Tim, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in your life. You just got back from Australia.
Yeah, I was down in Australia and New Zealand. We were doing some shows with Tim and Eric, some live shows, and some sightseeing and everything. It was it's a really great place. I met a couple of your fans down there.
Oh, wow.
They were in line. We were doing some signings and photo opportunities. And, you know, they were what you might expect your fans to look like.
What do you mean?
With, like, dreadlocks and, you know, patchouli reeking.
Yeah, all my fans have dreadlocks and wear patchouli. So when you're preparing for one of your shows, you know, as a comedian, when I'm preparing for my shows, I meditate and write down my jokes and stuff. But what do you guys do? You bag cheeseburgers and then that's pretty much it. Put some cheeseburgers in the bag and then throw them in the crowd. And that's what you get at one of your shows, right?
No, I do, because our shows are very physical. You know, there's a lot of running around and dancing and singing. We're walking by a beautiful waterfall.
That is nice.
And so I make sure I stretch.
Right.
I spend a lot of time stretching.
Yes, yes.
And vocal exercises.
Yes.
Because when I first started going out and doing these, you know, the first tour or second tour.
Yes.
I blew my voice out. I strained my voice on the first night. So.
What'd you blow your voice at? Yelling at the hamburger chef to hurry up and make more hamburgers?
See, I'm not sure what you're referring. We do a bit where we throw out hot dogs, if that's what you're talking about.
Oh, hot dogs. I get it.
One of the bits where we throw hot dogs out to
when
the audience.
How long did it take you to write that?
I don't remember writing.
Or do you guys have
writers?
Do you have an outreach at like public health facilities and let them write for your show?
No, we write it ourselves. So I don't know.
Well, that must be tough.
Swans were easy to see. Where's it, God?
At this point, I was beginning to realize that this is not the Tim I knew. He seemed disoriented, and I noticed that his eyes were dilated in a way similar to the eyes I had seen of bath salts users or crystal meth addicts. I decided to get him to talk about something familiar to him.
Tell me a little bit about the comedy.
The comedy is a film by director Rick Alverson that he wrote with a couple friends of his, and I'm in it, and Eric's in it, and Eric Wareheim, my comedic partner. Greg Turkington, James Murphy. And it's a movie about this aging, middle-aged hipster living in Williamsburg.
Yeah.
Who's sort of having a little bit of a, you know, midlife crisis or sort of at a crossroads in his life. And you know, it's very dark, very. Very intense. It has moments of humor, a lot of humor, but ultimately it's not a comedy.
It's more of a drama.
It's a drama, yeah. So I like the director, and I think he's a good guy. I liked his ideas. I liked what he had to say about the world, and you know, so I went ahead and did it.
Is this your first feature, dramatic feature?
Let me think. Almost absolute, yes. Yes. Oh, churros. Now, churros, you've got sugar and then Bavarian cream filled, caramel filled, and strawberry filled. When did they start filling? When did you guys start filling churros with gorillas? Campo Grill. No, still working our way. Here's the
when,
gorillas.
When people,
oh, we got
when
it here.
People buy tickets for your shows, did they have to pay extra for the food you throw at them, or is that comped?
No, that's just part of the show.
When we made it to the gorilla cage, Tim calmed down. This is what he'd been waiting for all morning.
Here we are. Look at these gorillas. We better be quiet, huh? Look at that guy. That's amazing. I mean, what was that sound?
I'm not sure. So when you, Tim, when you look at that gorilla, what does it make you feel like?
I feel a profound and strong connection to nature and to the world and to every blade of grass and every hair on your head.
But is a like is when you see something that's so strong but it's in a cage, it doesn't even know.
Well, I don't even see a cage. There's no cage.
Well, I know, but like, you know, most people who are a lot of people don't realize they're like the gorilla, you know, they're they've caged themselves into this life that isn't really who
that's
they
right.
are.
In my own life, looking at like I agree to do this movie, which I'm proud of, the comedy. But yes. What does that mean? It means, okay, I'm going to act in this movie. And that part is really fun. But then you have to go and you got to promote it and you got to talk about it. You got to do these kind of things. I'm glad to be here at the zoo, but, you know, you have to go and take up part of your day and talk to people like you and sort of take your bullshit. You know, you're trying to make these jokes about our show and I have to kind of be cool with it, because the most important thing is that even if like 10, I don't know how many, like you have like 100 listeners, 200 listeners, let's say 10 or 20 of these people check out the comedy, well then that was worth my time, wasting time here with you. But this is cool. Look
that's
at that.
So funny that you call it wasting time, because I
well, it's not wasting
you
time.
Emailed me, you emailed me and said, I want to promote this time for the
I
podcast
realized
again.
That I realized that I have to do whatever it takes to come out and promote this movie, because I think it's because I care about it, and I care about the director, and I care about the people that spent money to make it. Look at this guy's coming close to us.
It's beautiful.
But I don't like talking about myself and talking with you on the air for everybody to listen to.
Well, it's tough, you know, when you get into a type of life that you don't want. It's kind of like when your compass is off. If your compass is off, no matter where you go, you're always going to be going in the wrong direction. In the same way, like a lot of people, when they don't realize who they really are at their core, everything else kind of gets weird. You're at the zoo. You don't want to do the interview. You're kind of in this.
Listen, I would rather.
You get married. You don't even.
I would rather be on a beach, chilling out, reading a book.
Some of your
friends
with some of your bros.
Being with my family.
Putting sunscreen on your friends' backs.
But I got to be here. Oh, here comes another one. Look at this. This is a silverback now.
That's the alpha.
This is big. Holy crap. This guy could tear you apart. Not me. Tear you apart.
That guy's huge.
Oh, my God.
Look, and they're doing something now. Like, there's some kind of a...
This is some kind of meeting happening. This is some kind of meeting they're having.
What we're seeing here is a silverback, a giant probably 70-pound thing has come.
70-pound thing? What kind of orator are you? What kind of presenter are you? You have no conception of how to do this properly.
Oh, look, there's another one up there chomping leaves.
It's a little guy.
The silverback is gigantic. Interestingly enough, the gorillas, you and the gorillas probably have something in common, they have tiny penises for their size.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yes. Compared to their size, they have tiny penises.
Yeah. I guess. I don't know. I don't know anything about that. Look at this guy. I think you should probably suggest that while people are listening to this, in fact, I'll suggest it because you won't. While you're listening to this, open up a new browse, open up a new window in whatever browser you use. Go to Google, go to YouTube, go to or just go directly to YouTube and type in gorillas, type in silverback gorillas, and put the sound down on that clip and start watching while we're listening. Maybe roll back the podcast a little bit.
Yes.
And you could see through video on the internet what we're seeing right now. That's what I would suggest. If I was running this podcast, I would surely be suggesting that even before
the podcast
began.
I think if you were running this podcast, you'd probably say, bring up a hot dog on the screen and wear diapers while you listen to this.
A security guard made us leave the gorilla exhibit and forced me to stop recording. He said that something about the way Tim was acting was freaking out the gorillas. We decided to head over to the zebra exhibit.
That's a cool. These zebras are really cool, huh? I mean, they're essentially horses.
Yeah.
Really. Let's just be honest. It looks like... I think it looks like a horse. I think a zebra looks like a horse.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's a horse with stripes. It's just a different kind of horse. Why do they have to call it a different name? Why don't they call it a black and white striped horse?
This is making me think right now.
Yeah.
That what's happening here is the birth of your next show. And it's so obvious.
What is it?
Like a kid's show.
I would love to do a kid's show, I'd be honest with you. I love kids. I have a great chemistry with them.
Yes,
and
I'm sure.
I think kids have a great sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they have an irreverent sense of humor. You know, you don't have to go all sex jokes.
Right.
You know, because that's not what people get tired of that.
Sure.
But if you can be silly and be irreverent
mm-hmm.
With kids without being R-rated or... you know, above adults only style humor, R rated humor. So, you know, look
and
at this zebra's just lying down on its side. You don't see a horse do that ever. It looks like a dead horse.
That's
and
good.
A kid would.
That's so
find
funny.
That
would laugh
funny.
So hard at that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of where your humor's at. It's kind of at the
six to eight year old
level.
No, it spans multi generations. I have audience.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true.
Oh well, I know it's true because if you look at the makeup of our audience, say at a live show, for instance, in Australia on the other side of the world,
I bet there's not a lot of makeup in your audience because it's all guys, like 22 year old guys.
You know what? I'll be honest with you. It is about 60-40 guys. There's certainly a few more guys, but compared to I think your average kind of nerdy comedy kind of thing, mm-hmm. there are a lot of women and I have a lot of female fans and
sure
you know
do.
I think it's because it's not really gender based comedy.
No, I mean even calling it comedy is like you don't even have to call it that. So here we are at the this is the little deer stand, deer creatures.
Yeah, you don't know much about animals, do you?
Beautiful deer beings. Having fun in the dirt.
Yeah. This is sort of the peninsular prolong, the Barrendo Peninsula. These are generally found down in the Baja region.
How do you know so much about these?
I studied animals. I studied zoology in college, and I read a lot of books on zoology. Oh, these are some beautiful rams over here. The battling rams, the desert bighorn sheep. Love these guys. The Ovis canidus nelsoni. Part of the whole, you know, if you look in the whole western United States, you'll find these guys. They're eating cactus, yucca, fruit, desert plants.
This is crazy. How are you able to just... What, did you study this before we came here?
No, I have a general knowledge of zoology. Everybody should.
What are these creatures threatened by anything, or is there any kind of?
Well, I mean, they're. You could say from domestic animals because of shortages of water. You know, there's some issues, of course, with global warming. We find that
I think you've found your place to be, man. This is where you belong, doing very dry commentary on desert animals. This seems like more what you should be doing.
Well, it's one of the things I like to do. I don't think it can be the only thing I do.
No, but I mean, this is like, I feel like I'm with Einstein when he first found a chalkboard.
Okay. That's weird. This lowland Anoa is a really, really unique animal. It only lives on the island of Sulawesi in Indonesia, and you know, they just they're really, really they're endangered, and they're very specific to this one island. And it's amazing that the LA Zoo has even one of them, and we have to respect this animal, and we have to make sure that it doesn't go extinct. Thank you.
That was great. Let's keep moving on. That was really good.
See, and it's beautiful too with the horns.
But this feels good, doesn't it? This is like suddenly you get to take off the costume. You don't have to pretend to do that whole dumb comedy thing. Now you get to be serious and
talk. The babirusa.
Now this is an amazing creature.
This is like a warthog kind of thing.
This looks like something
tusks.
You would find in a time machine. This is something when your time machine opens back in your laboratory, you do not want it to come out. It's a wrinkled gray.
Yeah, this is a, you know, someone would look at this real quickly and say this is a mistake of nature, but I think it's beautiful.
Yes.
And it's got just an incredible hide.
That is a thick hide. That hide is the, this thing would kill you if you ran into it in the wild.
No, absolutely not.
Those thick tusks would dig into your skin.
This is a vegetarian, you know, an herbivore.
Yeah, but if it came upon you in the wild,
leaves, insect larvae,
you would
nuts,
be doomed.
You know, they're swift runners, excellent swimmers, and their sense of smell and hearing are acute. But
I'm amazed that you know all this stuff about animals. Honestly, I had no idea that you knew this stuff, but it kind of makes sense.
It's not that hard. It's not
because a lot of people, when they meet you in person, they're like, "Oh, this isn't a comedy guy. This is more like a kind of retired scientist."
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a misperception, I think, out there in a lot of comedians I knew, not necessarily you in particular, but
yeah,
a lot of comedians I know are to be talented, to have access to creativity, and to be, you know, to be competent enough to make a living out of it and a career out of it. You're generally gonna be starting from a baseline of a well-educated, you know, intelligent person, like
kind of
like
dry, filled with facts, like an old dry bag of facts. What do we got here?
This beautiful little spring deer is just unbelievable. I mean, what a pleasure to be in the presence of this majestic. I mean, you're looking at something maybe about a meter and a half high. Really just, when you think of a spring deer, when you picture spring deer, this is what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm. Look at those little horns.
No, well, there's no horn.
There's
one
horns,
horn. Yeah.
Two horns.
One small
horn. There's two horns.
Two horns. Hello, everyone.
Hi, guys. We just passed a group of kids, and they definitely look at Tim like a clown.
Look at this warthog. Now, this is a clowny-looking animal. I have never seen... This is a beautiful, beautiful Chacoan peccary, which, if anybody knows, is found in arid, thorny forests of Paraguay and Bolivia and Argentina.
This is amazing. I have to tell you...
Actually, Duncan, this is interesting. They were thought to be extinct until 1972... they were found, and it's just remarkable that we've been able to keep this incredible animal here at the zoo.
I gotta tell you, man, this is, to me, the fact that you emailed me, I'm not used to getting that level of, like, I don't want to call it desperation, but like definitely motivated to try to promote this film. I get this email, and then it's so funny. Now I understand why. Because at the zoo, you have creatures living in kind of a fake habitat where they don't belong. And in your life, we've got a scientist who's put himself in a comedian cage.
No, I'm not. I don't claim to be a scientist. I have just
but
a general
that kind
interest
of mind,
kind
an
of
academic,
thing.
Intellectual, kind of dry, exploratory mind. A man in front of a whiteboard with a grease marker.
I don't know
marker.
Why you keep saying dry. I mean, it's like,
I don't mean.
What do you want me to do? Kind
of like this, like I'm an idiot. I don't know. No,
I mean, what
I don't,
kind of tone of voice do you think you have that people enjoy listening to you?
It's not a tone. I think I have a very annoying voice.
Because when you're off the air, you have a normal, grounded, reasonable voice. That's the way I talk, whether I'm on the air or off.
So
I don't
now
try
you're
going to
do like an inside baseball thing and try to say that I have like a...
He puts this affected voice that I can't imagine you think it's successful.
People meet me on the road. They know I talk like this.
Well, you don't talk that way in private with me when we're having dinner or when we're... spending time with friends.
All right, well, let's cut to a commercial.
In recognizing a communist, physical appearance counts for nothing. If he openly declares himself to be a communist, we take his word for it. If a person consistently reads and advocates the views expressed in a communist publication, he may be a communist. If a person supports organizations which reflect communist teachings, or organizations labeled communist by the Department of Justice, she may be a communist. If a person defends the activities of communist nations while consistently attacking the domestic and foreign policy of the United States, she may be a communist. If a person does all these things over a period of time, he must be a communist. But there are other communists who don't show their real faces, who work more silently.
Okay, we are back here. I'm at the LA Zoo with Tim Heidecker. This is a big moment, I think, for Tim and all the folks out there have been wondering what's going on with Tim, because I think this is on tape. We've caught a man who's done the midlife career shift. He's realizing he's a scientist.
I am not. That is inaccurate. I enjoy animals. I enjoy the knowledge that I have and sharing that with you. But the idea that I want to become a scientist is absurd. It takes many, 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 many years of study and education that I'm not prepared to go through.
No.
Take me back 10 years, 20 years, maybe, of course. I mean, it'd be something I'd be interested in pursuing.
You're a trained actor, so you're basically a...
I'm not trained, believe me.
But you're an actor more than anything, so you're like a clothes hanger for words. You can read off a board, you can read words in a... That's all you need to do. You need to get in front of a green screen and read words off of boards to kids. And I think you would be exactly where you belong.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's not something I'd want to do, but appreciate you bringing it up. Are we back at the gorillas now?
Oh, yeah. It smells like them.
Ew. It really does. Not smell good here at the gorilla stand.
So the comedy.
You know what? Listen to that. That's the sound of the electricity surging through
that's a stink pit. It's a smell gorilla pee. So the comedy.
I ask everybody listening to come to that movie, first of all, legally get it through on demand or get it through iTunes. Pay for your entertainment. This movie was funded by some courageous people at Jag Jaguar, the record label who puts out, you know, great music, and they put their own money on and their own reputation on the line to give Rick Alverson the opportunity to make this movie. So show some respect and pay for it. Don't steal it, and then go into watching it with an open mind. You know, it's not exactly what you might expect coming from us, and it's something different, and I think we should be applauding and celebrating different things in the world. This era of Iron Man and Garfield remakes and this and that. You know, come on, let's just try different stuff.
And guys, I don't think you guys are thieves. Tim's opinion of the people who listen to this podcast is low.
I say that to everybody. I say that to my own fans are just, my own audience is just as bad. They think that they're entitled to stuff and they think it's cute and cool and fun to just download stuff willy-nilly at their own discretion. And they don't realize that there's a 1-to-1 ratio between the amount of money you spend on something and the amount that it costs to make that thing. So if people don't support through their wallets, then these kind of movies are just going to stop being made because there's just no incentive for anybody to pay for them to be made. I couldn't be more clear about this, and it couldn't be more stark and obvious. The technology now exists, so it's just as easy to grab these things through on demand or through iTunes or through Amazon, any other method that you use. It's a simple, you know, it's about as many steps as it would take to do anything else. So that you can't make the argument that this, I mean, listen, there's a difference to be said about the global issue. If you're listening and you're in Indonesia or you're in Finland or wherever you are, sure, I understand that, and I'm not happy about that either. There are there are restrictions in the way that people are able to buy things based on where you live. I think that's ridiculous, and that there's and I sympathize for those people. So listen, if you're in the United States, then that this is really the message I'm sending out. So don't call or write and say, yeah, but what about me? I live.
You're listening to the Movie Business Report with Tim Heidecker.
Look at this guy, Silverback, showing his ass to us. He's just giving us the moon.
That's got it. Now that for you has got to be intense to see that kind of male, hairy, strong ass just pushing it up in your direction like it knows. It's like it knows you.
Oh, we're standing right next to each other, so who knows what he's doing, right?
No. But it is definitely, the thing seems like it's like.
To you, it seems.
It's inviting you in.
I suppose.
Join me in here. Yeah. Wouldn't you like that to loll?
Hey, that's what you're thinking.
Wouldn't you like that to loll about in the grass with a silverback kind of old biker guy who's kind of rubbing your back and like, give me a beer, buddy.
No.
He comes back and he cradles you in his arms.
Nope.
Love your funny jokes, my little Timmy.
Nope.
If you did that, man, I swear I think it would open a renaissance in your life. If
a
you
renaissance
just spend
in my
a,
life.
If you spend an yeah. afternoon with a gay biker. Look at that, Tim. Tim, look at that.
Oh, that smell. Wow. That is pungent. That is look at this is this the woman that's the same age as me?
Yes.
I can't remember her name.
36. Look at those long arms.
It's the depth of your observation and appreciation of these animals. Look at those long arms. We're making a podcast for fun.
What's your
name?
You
ever hear a podcast?
Benji.
Have you ever heard of a podcast?
Yeah.
We make a little radio show for online. What do you think of these gorillas? See, this is how you do an interview show. What do you think of these gorillas?
They're so cool.
I love these things. That one is the same age as me. I'm 36. How old are you?
7.
And maybe, have you ever seen any gorillas like this before?
Yes.
What's your favorite animal at the zoo?
The gorilla.
Very exciting. Me too. That's my favorite animal too. Well, thanks for stopping by the podcast.
That was great, Tim. I just watched somebody come to life. That is what...
It's going to be online. What is the name of your... What's the name of your podcast?
The Duncan Trussell Family Hour.
It's called the Duncan Trussell Family Hour.
DuncanTrussell.com. We
make podcasts, too.
Oh, you do?
How do you do that?
How do you do what?
How do they get the cubs? Like the eggs?
Boy, that's a long conversation. Come here,
guys. Yeah.
What about this stink?
Smells
bad, huh?
How do they make the stink?
Well, I think we all know the answer to that, don't we?
Am I gonna be online?
Potentially, we'll see it if his podcast doesn't get canceled before the end of this week.
It's not gonna be canceled.
You probably wouldn't like it though, right?
No.
Sabotage. Huh?
Yeah. Why do they knuckle walk?
Oh well, I wish I could tell you. That's the way they walk. How come? Why don't you knuckle walk?
I can knuckle walk.
Have a great day.
Nice to meet you guys.
Have a great deer. Have a great deer, I said.
Let's go this way.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you. We're going to get him back to the hospital in half an hour.
It was great. I got to talk to some kids. I got to be genuine. I got a couple digs in on you. It was a great experience.
No, you did good, man. I'm telling you, man, that's where you shine. You shine with kids. You shine listing facts. This is you, man. This is where you need to be. All this struggle you're going through.
I'm not doing any struggle.
You're doing these existential New York movies, and you're going through this time.
I'm trying to. This is where you belong.
You should.
Why do I have to decide? I'm just continue to explore. My experiences in life. I don't have to.
Tim,
suddenly,
I love you. I want you to be happy.
A lot of people
are worried about you.
Nobody's worried about me.
A lot of people want you to be happy.
Well, I am happy, so problem solved.
All you need. Okay. But this equipment is not that expensive. You just get this. You can walk around.
I have this equipment. I have my own
you
podcast.
You can walk around.
Everybody listen to oncinemapodcast.com.
You can walk
around. It doesn't take an hour to listen to. We do it in 10 minutes.
You could walk around the zoo all day.
This guy's wearing a Disney feature animation jacket. He's there drawing. See, what people understand about L.A. is we are so right where we are right now.
Yes.
At the L.A. Zoo, we got to be 2-3 miles away, even less, 2 miles away from Walt Disney's own animation studios. So here we have, I bet this guy is an artist.
Why don't you go interview him?
You interview him.
No,
this
you
is
do
your
it.
Show.
No, this is your life. This is the rest of your life. Let's see you do an interview.
I'm not going to do it. I'm only talk to kids.
If you're going to do this, you've got to have the guts to get up there and do
First
it.
First of all, I'm also not going to be rude and interrupt everybody here.
Tim, you should go around the zoo with a fake recording device and do interviews with people. You don't even have to record it. You just get a chance to talk to people. You're obviously feeling lonely and down.
I'm feeling great. How's it going? It's beautiful out. It's nice. It's not too hot.
What do we have here?
I'm almost in the mood for a churro.
What do we have here?
This, my friend, is the old mountain bongo, the Bongo de Montoya. Scientific name, of course, is the Trigolyphus erophus aesacae. And basically, it's just a beautiful, beautiful animal coming in from the South American region down there on the east coast of South America. These are beautiful animals.
I just mean, looked right combination at you.
Of, I mean, it's really, you look at this and you say, someone said to me the other day, what if you think about cows, milk cows, where do they come from? You don't see cows out in the wild, do you? When you look at an animal like the mountain bongo, you go, that's where cows, that's, you know, one of the ancestors of the modern day milk cow. You can see it. You see it in their eyes. You see it. Look, it looks like it could be a cow.
You know what you could call yourself for your zoo interview show? You could call yourself Zoo Radley.
I don't get that. It's Boo Radley from the...
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. It's
no, dumb. Kind of like a lonely guy who loves kids. Zoo Radley, that could be your show.
I'm not a lonely guy, I'm not interested in that idea. Thank you.
But they would... Kids would kind of... You'd be like the legend of the zoo. The lonely guy comes out once in a while with a microphone and interviews you about gorillas.
I don't think so. That's not interesting to me. It seems like we're going around in a circle now.
So let's see, where are we now?
Well, we should try to see maybe the elephants, huh?
Yeah, let's go. Let's go see the elephants, Tim. What are some things you love about elephants?
Well, of course, you got to respect their long memory and their long life and their commitment to family.
Yes.
And their sense of community. They're just majestic, beautiful animals. They're ancient animals. Hey, there you are again. We're going off to see the elephants. He's talking to my old friend. My young friend, I should say.
They're a little unnerved by you, but I think that if you did
well,
this
I'm
more...
Well, I'm a big guy with a microphone in my hand.
No. They sense. Much like Let's the see. Animals, they sense.
I don't see any... there's a giraffe.
Let's go to the chimps. It's this way. They sense... They sense something about you. You can feel it, Tim. It's not as bad as you think, man. You're not spinning out. It's just.
I just think, you know, when you look, when you listen to this, you're just going to keep hearing these. I don't know if you listen to your own podcast, but if you just you're going to keep hearing these jabs and punches from you, and you're going to hear there's just no. They never connect. They never hit. They never.
I'm not trying to hit you.
They never hurt my feelings.
Nobody wants
they
to
just,
hurt you.
They
no one wants to hurt you. Everyone wants you to be happy. No
sure,
one's trying to hurt
sure.
you. So when you see that guy jump out of the plane, remember the guy just jumped out of that balloon? And in the beginning, he does that spin. And it's scary. He's out of control.
I didn't watch
he's
the
going.
Footage.
So he's spinning. He's going too fast. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know how to grab his equilibrium. It happens to everybody, man.
Okay. Well, I don't know what that's in reference to.
We all go through periods of finding our balance. So the sense of falling is a sense of when you realize you're not falling, you're flying, then you're free.
Okay.
You can put that on your tombstone.
Let's see here. We got...
It's this way.
Winkies. How's it going?
Oh, there's the giraffe.
Oh, look at this. Now, this is a giraffe. I don't think I need to explain too much about that. Giraffes are the first animal. They were actually the first animal ever.
Huh. I didn't know that.
Yeah. You have, they're actually from Eastern Africa as well, this Maasai giraffe. What a majestic animal.
You keep saying that, majestic.
Well, I think it's an appropriate description when I'm looking at a goddamn giraffe.
For
I mean, sure, if I'm looking at a goddamn, you know, warthog, maybe not as appropriate, but... Look at the tail. It's long, long, almost human-looking horse, you know, horsehair-style tail. And they use that to swat flies and gnats and basically keep them comfortable and keep them cool.
Yes. How long is the neck?
The neck is generally about 8 feet long.
How much do you think one of these majestic creatures weighs?
Oh, boy. I'd have to say...
Look, Tim.
I mean, the neck itself...
It's checking us out.
Hello. The neck itself is about 500 pounds, so you're thinking 1,500, 2,000 pounds.
That thing looks like a dinosaur.
I definitely see that. You see the dinosaur. You see some horse. We're all connected. I mean, I feel as connected in a way to the giraffe as I do to the gorilla. I know that sounds like some new age bullshit that would come out of your mouth, but I believe it.
Okay.
I believe it. And there's no better place to see it on display than here at the LA Zoo.
California Gold. That guy's going to end up needing someone to take over California Gold.
What, Huell Hauser?
Yeah. No. You're like the new... I feel like I'm with Huell Hauser.
No, that's not something that interests me.
But, you know, have you ever heard... Can we stop for a second because I want to tell you something? There's a beautiful Quaker hymn.
Beautiful Quaker hymn?
A hymn, yes.
No, what about a beautiful Quaker her? That sounds more interesting to me.
Okay. There's a...
Oh, take a seat.
There's a beautiful Quaker hymn. And when I'm sitting with you, exploring what's going on with you, and getting some information for some of your friends, and we're worried...
Yeah, why are you so obsessed with exploring me?
There's a wonderful Quaker hymn, and the lines go, "'Tis a gift to be simple, 'tis a gift to be free, 'tis a gift to come down where you ought to be."
Sure.
"And when you find yourself in the place just right, you'll be in the valley of love and delight."
Okay. Beautiful. That's got a nice American feeling to it, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. But you know what that is.
"'Tis the gift to be simple, 'tis the gift to be free, 'tis the gift to live in..." Da-da-da-da-da, whatever.
Yes. "And when you find yourself in the place just right..." Mm-hmm. "You'll be in the valley of love and delight." Think of that.
That's always, yeah, it's beautiful. And I think
no more whipping those hot dogs up in Australia. Oh, no more pushing that comedy boulder up the hill and wondering why it always rolls back down on top of you.
I'm doing fine.
Just waking up in the morning, getting your microphones out, getting your recording device, going to the zoo and interviewing kids.
I think that would be fun. That sounds like a really fun thing to do, but certainly not my main focus.
What's your main focus this year?
My main focus is to get another TV show going, and to just be involved with creative people, making creative projects, and doing some more stand-up comedy, and doing stuff with Eric, and letting our company grow, and continuing to have a great relationship with my friends and my family and my wife, and just enjoy this blessed life that I have, and thank God every day that I am able to be a creative person and create stuff, some people out there, I understand some people don't like it, but some people do, and that I'm blessed that those people
nobody's keep judging supporting. You no I'm one's not, against you
I understand that, and that's fine. So, I appreciate it. Appreciate you letting me come on here and plug my movie. These guys worked really hard making this movie happen. So, everybody out there, go check it out.
It's called The Comedy. You can find it at the theaters.
Yes, it's gonna. If you live in New York, San Francisco, Austin, LA,
what's a website where people can find it?
If you go to Tribeca.com,
right?
Or type in Google, just type in Tribeca the Comedy, and maybe you could put a link on your site or something. That would be helpful.
Oh, I'd be glad to do.
People aren't writing down websites right now. They're driving in their car.
No, there's going to be a link on my site. I'm here for you, Tim.
Thank you very much.
That you need to help. All of your friends are here for you. We want you to succeed. More than anything, we want you to be happy.
I am happy, and I don't think anybody has to worry about that, especially you.
We want you to be where you need to be. And I think everyone listening to this right now can hear what's going on, and they want you to be happy too. Guys, if you want Tim to be happy, send him a tweet at Tim Heidecker.
Not necessary. I am very happy.
You've been on. This is the third time you've been on one of my podcasts. And
I got to say something right now. There's a guy with a Lacoste shirt, and you're not being able to see this. I wish you could turn around. But he's wearing one of those Lacoste polos, and I wear them occasionally. And I don't like labels, you know, but they do have the little alligator on it, which I guess is appropriate at a zoo. But this guy's wearing one of those that has the kind that are giant logos on the breast. I just think that's strange.
We want you to be happy.
I am happy, but part of being a comedian and a successful comedian at that is being able to be frustrated and be able to be angry.
The alligator is bad.
And just be observant and judge and have opinions. And sometimes it's not just about being happy. You know, sometimes it's about being mad about something. Why does that guy have to wear that stupid shirt? What is that with that? You know, it's like the old Seinfeld thing. What's the deal with? That's not coming from a place of happiness. That's coming from a place of frustration.
No.
If your comedy's not working out for you, if you're not as successful as you want to be, perhaps you have to investigate whether or not you should be asking more questions, and you should be trying to dig down deeper into where the truth lies. That's not a happy thing to do. That's not a fun thing to do. That's not a at peace thing to do. That's not a Quaker thing to do.
Yeah.
So, questions to ask yourself as well.
Okay. That's fine, Tim. You've been on the podcast now 3 times, and there's a, you know, when they were testing the Space Shuttle Challenger, there were some scientists who kind of came out and said, you know what, we got to look at these gaskets, you know, because if these gaskets aren't checked when they hit cold, they're going to burst. You know, because when something's going really fast and it's got loose gaskets, it can explode and things can get weird.
So was it a gaskets issue that blew up the Challenger? Is that what you're suggesting?
I'm suggesting that's what was happening.
Okay. I'm sure if you
can read
that
the article, there's a wonderful thing in the NASA report by the physicist Richard Feynman. You should check it out. Listen, science aside, everyone wants you to be happy. You've been on the podcast 3 times, and there's an increase.
While you're talking, I'm going to Google the two words, gaskets, Challenger, and just see what
happens.
Thank
you so much for coming on the podcast, Tim. You can go to @TimHeidecker. Tell him, let's do a campaign, guys. Say, @TimHeidecker, we want you to be happy. That was Tim Heidecker from the LA Zoo.
Okay, stand by.
Also known as Zoo Radley.
So there you go, guys. There's Tim Heidecker from the LA Zoo. Not a pretty sight, but a natural sight. A man who's coming to terms with his real identity in the midst of the chaos and intensity of a TV movie career. So say hi to Tim on Twitter @TimHeidecker, and definitely download on iTunes the comedy. Thanks for listening, you guys. Now check out this amazing track by the great Daniel Johnston from his album, the late great Daniel Johnston. It's called Like a Monkey in the Zoo. Like this, oh, but I never saw it coming.
it's my fault. But I want out. And when I cry out, nobody seems to understand. Like a monkey. And it could happen to you. You could be in my high place. Don't let yourself slip. Don't keep egg on your face. I used to be happy. Yeah.